So Psalm 2, it's at the bottom of the page there. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that passage open. We're going to look at it now. In all of that, oh, here it is. I've just read a psalm. A psalm is a poem or a song from the Old Testament. They're put together in a book. There are a few others in other places, but within the book of Psalms, who knows how many psalms there are? 150, that's right. Today we're looking at the last of five psalms that are mentioned in the early part of the book of Acts. So the first Christian believers who are talked about, written about in the book of Acts, they use these psalms. And above me on the board here, you can see there they are, the psalms that we're looking at. They're in the right order on the left-hand column in the psalm book, but actually when they're used in the book of Acts, you can see if you can go on there, you can see they're used in different places. So we've gone through them in the order. So although it's the first in the list from Psalms, it's the last that gets used in the book of Acts. So early believers used these psalms. They're from the Old Testament, but we will listen to the Old Testament. The Old Testament shows us how Jesus gives us life with God and how to live life with God. Someone here ought to know what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says about that. What do they say about Scripture? It's God-breathed. All Scripture is God. Before that, it's useful for what? The Holy Scriptures, which are useful for making you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. There's a couple of people who ought to remember this. Training in righteousness. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So it makes us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. And it's good for showing us how to live God's way. I've got two things I want to show you from Psalm 2. The first will be on the board here. People do not want God or his son Jesus to be in charge. People do not want God or his son Jesus to be in charge. Psalm 2 begins with a question. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? Why do they do that? Here they are, the peoples. They get together. They conspire to make plans, but they're doing it in vain. That means it's useless. It won't work. Who is then mentioned in verse 2? Kings of the earth, that's right. And what do they do? Yeah, they rise up. So like the peoples who are gathering to conspire, the kings of the earth are rising up against the Lord. The Lord there is written in capitals, L-O-R-D. That's the Old Testament name for God. What do they say? They say, verse 3, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. They don't want the yoke of serving God. Now, all of us do this. We all of us think this way. This is the normal human way. It's a normal human way of thinking about God. shut up, go away, I don't care. We don't want him to be the boss. We want to be the boss. We often disagree with each other about lots of things, but you will find that people who disagree with each other about many topics will agree on this. They don't want Jesus to be their boss. And they will do what they can to resist that. Because we believe in ourselves as humans, and we believe we can be in charge of our lives. And that's a bad belief. But the psalm says there's another king on his throne. His throne is in heaven. So what does God think? Can we have the next slide here and press the button? What's that sound? It's laughing. Verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He makes fun of them. What are you doing? How stupid. The rulers who reject Jesus, they will harm the people of Jesus, and that is not funny. What is funny is their stupidity. Where is God's throne? It's in heaven. And the people on earth think that they can resist him. It's like thinking, I can stand in a road in front of a fast-moving lorry and I'm going to stop that lorry. It's nonsense. The lorry's going to win. God is not scared when school teachers say there's no God, when they make it difficult for the Christian children. He's not frightened when people make jokes about him on YouTube. What does he say in verse 6? What has he done? Someone read it. What does God say he's done? Installed his king. He says, I've put my king on the throne. Zion is the Old Testament name for Jerusalem. So verse 6, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. That's the reason for the question in verse 1. Why do the peoples conspire? Why do they plot in vain? Why do they do that? How silly. Because God is in heaven. And God has put his king on the throne. What a silly thing for people to do. Of course, when Jesus came, people did resist him. Jesus didn't look like that. He wasn't yellow, but it's just my cartoon bubble for Jesus. The rulers resisted Jesus. In Acts, they put him in prison. They put Jesus in prison and then killed him. And then they put his followers in prison. And when they were set free, they remembered Psalm 2. So can we have it on the board here? This is straight from the book of Acts. Why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Where has that come from? Where have the people in the book of Acts got those words from? Psalm 2. That's right. They're reading Psalm 2 or they're remembering Psalm 2. They've learnt a bit of scripture, which is a good thing to do. And then they say, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. So that's the way that promise has come true. Remember, God's promise always keeps his promises. These promises have come true in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And there's actually lots of connections there. So if we go to the next, please, you've seen the green. They did it together. They plotted it in blue. It said they plotted or conspired. Next one in red is about the orange at the bottom against his anointed one. That's Jesus, the anointed. Is there one more? Yes, the red. The nations and the people, the Gentiles and the people of Israel. There's another link, isn't there? The kings of the earth. Who were the kings of the earth in the times of Jesus there? Herod and Pontius Pilate. Okay, there was that connection as well. I'd missed that there. So when the rulers harmed Jesus, it was what God had already said would happen. it was his plan. God wasn't scared by that. When Judas gave Jesus over, God laughed. Not scaring me. When the priest gave Jesus to the governor, God laughed. When Pilate, the governor, killed Jesus, God laughed. How stupid. Who do they think they are? He didn't laugh because it was funny. What was funny was that they thought they could resist. And it still goes on. People's plot, rulers try to resist Jesus. They leave Christians out of groups. You'll know this. Perhaps you've been left out of a group when they're telling a story together and they don't want the Christian to be there. Rulers rise up. People will say, no, you're not going to read the Bible in my house. Parents will say that to their children. Or the boss will say, no crosses on uniforms in this hospital. No praying for people. They're trying to resist Jesus, aren't they? When people laugh at our faith, it can seem like that mustn't be God's plan. We're suffering because we're believers. Surely God's plan has gone wrong. But this is what was always said in Scripture. Could we go to the next board here? Same word again. People do not want God or his son Jesus to be in charge. But, the psalm goes on, Jesus is the king. Well, we see in the New Testament this is about Jesus, the king of everyone, everywhere. Now the king speaks in verse 7, and he tells us what God has promised him. Verse 7, I will proclaim the Lord's decree, what God has said. He said to me, you're my son, today I have become your father. What does he promise? What does God, L-O-R-D in capitals, what does he promise the son in verse 8? Someone with a big voice? Well done. Yeah, what's going to be his inheritance? Yeah, all the nations. So that's the promise. I'll make all the nations your inheritance. And what does he say he will then do with them? In verse 9. Dash them to pieces. Like pottery. Apparently Stephen Karen had 9 plates like this. They managed to break, had 12. 12 managed to break 9, so there's 3 left. And God says to his king, do remember that. Don't remember the vicar smashing plates. Remember Psalm 2. Okay? Psalm 2. Jesus has got such great power over his enemies. And because of that, the ordinary kings have got a choice. They've got a choice. There's a choice between two things. Carry on trying to resist Jesus, who is God's king, or submit to him. So David says, David, who's written this psalm, says, be wise, be smart. Look at that, verse 10. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Heed the warning, avoid the danger. Two things they must do. And if the kings must do it, everyone else ought to do it as well. It's not just for them. The ones who are high above us that Shadrach led us in praying for, they need to do this to King Jesus. How much more should we do it to King Jesus? Serve the Lord and kiss the Son. That's a funny thing to say, kiss the Son. Now, in that time, if a greater king had power over a smaller king, the lesser king would show the other king was great by kissing them. That was a sign. You know, you are the great one. I'll bow down, I'll kiss your hand, maybe even kiss his feet. You're the great one. How do we kiss the king? How do we kiss Jesus when he's not here? What sign today is the way to say, I am not the boss of my life. Jesus, you are the boss. Well, it's coming to church on a Sunday and making it important so you get here for the beginning at 10:30 because you want to sing of him and sing to him and be with his people. And it's going away to do what he's told us for the rest of Sunday and for Monday to Saturday. It's what I say about him to others. That's how I kiss Jesus, to say, you're the boss, I'm not the boss. It's how we live. It's how I use my phone. It's what I use my phone for. That shows who's the boss. There's a great promise in the very last line there. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Take refuge means hide or keep safe or get in a safe place. This is not a heavy burden to be someone who has Jesus as the boss. It's the place that you can be safe. It's the good place. And our generous, kind God, he invites his enemies to be with him. Maybe you haven't made that choice yet to kiss Jesus as your Lord and say, you're the boss. Please keep coming and learn more. Dagenham Parish Church is for people who've made a mess in their lives and who know God is kind and forgives. Those of us who are believers, we see that people today, they still resist God and his King Jesus. And we can feel like, oh, maybe God's plan isn't working. Maybe I should be a bit more quiet about Jesus at school or work or family. Let's look what the early Christians did. They remembered Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city, this was in Jerusalem, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And now they've put the Jesus followers in prison. So what do? They think, well, we better be quiet. What do they pray at the end there? It's amazing. Enable your servants to speak boldly. Because the kings have got to hear this, and the people have got to hear this. To kiss Jesus, honor him, and find refuge in him. So we need to keep speaking. Tell people they have this choice. Pray for people you know who are not yet believers in Jesus, even if they seem to be enemies of Jesus. Pray for them. Come on the door-to-door visiting team that we run from church. In the email message this week, I mentioned the 12th of September in the afternoon there, after the first training ground session in the morning. In the afternoon, those who are able to make it, we've got a four-hour open house session here, which is part of a London-wide project, opening buildings around London to visitors. That's an opportunity. Maybe you could help there. Could we have the last slide? Here we go. This is what Psalm 2 has told us. People do not want God or his son Jesus in charge. What does God think about it? He laughs. Jesus is the king of everyone, everywhere. So we should honor him. And if we do that, we will be safe. And we should tell people of that so they too can be safe. I thought it's relatively short. Shall we read Psalm 2 together? How about if we all read 1 to 5, and then I will read the lines that God says, 6 to 9, and then we all read 10 to 12. Is that okay? Don't worry if you're going to get lost. You read 1 to 5, and then I'll do the next, and I'll tell you about the last bit. So 1 to 5 all together. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, so it's just me now, this is what God says, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. And now this is what his king said, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son, today I've become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Together. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. We must pray. Father, we live in a world that is full of hurt and pain and sorrow. People are confused. They think that they can ignore you and avoid you. Lord, we do thank you that you have changed us so that we do see Jesus is King. But just as people harmed Jesus and laughed at him and harmed the apostles, we know people will do that today to those who believe in Jesus. Father, all people have a choice, and you want us to tell them about this choice so they can be like us. So they, even though they have messed up and thought they knew better than Jesus, can have refuge in him. Make us a church of people who have boldness to speak about Jesus. Help us to have so much love for you and love for other people that we're glad to speak of him, even in difficult situations. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.